blessed evening, and we thank God for this important topic that we are going to hear this evening. And this is very relevant to all of us, not just for young people, but to all in the church. And indeed, this is a good reminder for all of us. Apostle Paul wanted to let Timothy, as a pastor, know how he will deal with the members in the church. We know that the original plan of God for man is to live together in unity, in harmony, in love. And God indeed wanted this relationship to exist. And though because of sin and the fall of man, that sinful nature that is manifested in every heart of every individual that is a sinner, that is wicked before God and has not been regenerated and has not been changed or has not been saved. He is a man who always do things that is contrary to God's will and God's word. And so the idea of harmony, unity, love, cooperation, oneness is out of his mind, of his desire. He will always find things to make trouble or to engage in things that would cause others to be hurt or to make others in a troubled situation. That is always in the case of man. And that's very obvious, right? In today's world, if you look at the television, if you open your news in the internet, in your phone, you'll see not sending love letters to one another, but sending missiles and drones and all those bombs, killing one another. That's man. We thank the Lord that He, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has given us the grace to believe, and as a church, we have a renewed spirit, we have a renewed life, we have renewed lives, and we have now a guide in the indwelling spirit in our lives that would tell us and show us and cause us, even convince us and convict us to live a life different from the world. And so every Christian has this desire now to live harmoniously, in unity, in love with one another. There may be times that we can still be drawn away from the ways of the world, culture, our environment, our circumstances may cause us to depart from the ways of God. But as a believer, as Christians, we know there is a Spirit of God that will tell us that is wrong, and we have to go back to do what is right. And so in the design of God's church, in His body, there must be unity, there must be love, harmony, there must be care for one another because we are one body in Christ. And that is what Paul wanted Timothy to think of as a pastor. Remember, this is a letter to young Timothy, who was now pastoring a church in Ephesus, and Paul told him, you must do this. But this is not just an instruction for a pastor, a young pastor. It is an instruction for all believers, for all of us. And I pray that we will consider these words individually, that is, expressed to us, told to us, commanded to us, instructed to us, so that we can learn from this passage, these two verses. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. And you will have here the picture of a family, right? You have a father, you have a mother, a brother, sisters, the children. This is a family. The body of Christ must also be seen as a family. Yes, it is a body, an organism. The head is Christ. But as a family, we have also the Lord Jesus Christ at the head of it. There are parents, there are children in the church. So, as young people, you may think you belong to what we call as the children, the brothers, the younger sisters. But you may also be in the near future become a father and a mother to some, not biologically to them, but of course spiritually. And so let us look on this so that we can learn as part of the church what should be the right relationship in the church. What should be the kind of relationship that we have towards those who are older than us, towards those who are younger than us? How should we treat one another according to the scriptures? And so Paul says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Now the word elder here, of course, is presbyteros, but it does not just refer to the elders ordained. Why we say that? Because the context says that it is. It's talking of elders and then later elder women. We don't have elders that are women in the church. We don't have women elders in the church. Okay? And it's now talking also to younger men and younger women. So the context says that this is not talking about an elder who is an ordained leader of a church, one who is anointed, one who is appointed. It talks about all those who are older than yours, older in age, mature in age. This speaks of those who are older than you. It can be one who is already 50 plus or can be still be 30. They are older than you. You are still in your 20s. And for the younger children here, they may look up to you, 20 plus, as somebody is older than them. Older men. That's the word here for elder. And the word is rebuke not. Rebuke not. Now this is a word that's once used only in the New Testament. It's only used once, the word rebuke here. Although you have a word rebuke in verse 20 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, that is a different word. This word here, rebuke, is actually a word that describes to strike. And to strike someone with, probably with sharp, insensitive words. This is to say brutal words, nasty words, words that are irrespectful, words that may hurt, words that will show a kind of disrespect towards them. This is the word rebuke. This is not to correct. That's the word here in verse 20. To correct them, to show what is right. The word rebuke in verse 1 is a kind of abusive words. Words that without fear and without respect, without honoring those who are older than you. But sadly it is, sometimes we cannot prevent this, because even in the family, in our own culture, in our own society, that is somehow common, right? For children to just shout at their fathers. Is that happening to our own families? Just tell your father like that because you know that you know these things more than them, and they got it wrong, and you insult them, you put them down as if they have nothing that they have known. They are so ignorant of these things, and you shame them before others. in the church, it should not be, and that is also true in the family. Because Paul says here, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him. That means you should not say bad words. You must have respect towards those who are older than you. And entreat. Now, by the way, the word rebuke, when Paul says said to Timothy, rebuke not, he was not saying that you are already a person who is doing this. This is given in a suggestive word. You don't have to do it, Timothy. There might be some times that some of those older people than you will correct you in a way that will put you down as a young pastor, but don't say and don't retaliate, don't say any bad words to them. He was not saying Timothy was doing this. He was saying don't ever do it if in case there might be some situations that you are tempted to say things against them. And then he says, entreat him. The word entreat here, interestingly, is a word that is what we commonly know as the word for describing the Holy Spirit. Parakletos or parakleo, one that calls beside and tells you something and tells you what you have to do. They will not shout at you. The Holy Spirit does not shout at you and scold you. He'll just call you beside and tell you what's wrong. And so this is a way of entreating, appealing. And this is a way of telling in a very respectful manner. Entreat him as a father. And the word entreat is a command. A command that must be done continuously. And Paul was saying to Timothy, you have to do it continually until the end of your life. You should respect, you should entreat, you should plead, you should appeal before the elders as your father. But the problem is, because of our culture and the situation we are in when we are commanded with entreat him as a father, well, I shout to my own father. I insult my own father, so I can do it with the older men in the church, because I do it in a family. Now, your basis is not your own family. Your basis is not what you are doing in your family. Your basis should be the scriptures. And the scripture says, honor your father and your mother. And what is the word honor? Honor is to give way, meaning they have a special place in your heart. You should consider them importantly, significantly in your decision, in whatever you do, in whatever you think. In their words, they must be heavy weight. That's the honor there. You have to think of what they said in comparison to what you know, in comparison to your friends' message or suggestion. You have to consider more on what your parents said. Honor. We're so familiar with Ephesians 6:1. That's always what we tell children. Obey your parents, to submit to them, to honor them, to follow them, to listen to them. And words like, for example, will bring you to just some warnings in Exodus 21. Because this, you may say, oh, that is Old Testament. Yes, this Old Testament, but it's part of the scripture. And the word of God tells us in Exodus 21 and verse 17, and he that curseth, and that's the idea of words that is striking, rebuking with harsh words, hurting words, insulting words, nasty words. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Thank God we are now in the Old Testament. We are not in the Old Testament days. And then he says in Proverbs 20:20, this is something that you can easily remember. Okay, I hope you will remember this. Proverbs 20:20. 20:20 is perfect vision. So this is a perfect vision for you young people. You have to remember this. What is Proverbs 20:20? I think we have to read it together, young people, so that you will remember this. Proverbs 20:20. I believe some of you is familiar with this verse. Are you there? Proverbs 20:20. Reading. Whoso curseth his father or his mother. Again, the word curse here is the idea of saying something that is hurtful, that is striking, that is causing insult towards the parents. And the result? Your lamp. That means your testimony as a believer shall be put out in obscure darkness. You will never be a good witness. You will never be a good testimony. You will be a person who will always be seen as one who, how can we believe his words? He even don't respect his own parents. How can we believe in what he says? He don't even listen to his own parents, even curses them. And so these are things that you have to remember. There are many things in the scriptures, but I want you to remember that in treating older men in the church must be as your father. And your basis of your attitude towards your father is not on what you do in your family, what you do with your father. There's so much influence with the West. The West always tells the children to just go against their parents. And they don't even call their parents papa or dad or what. Right? They just call them by their own names. Hey, Franco! Will you say that? I mean, if my son will say that, then I hope I'll not be doing anything against him. But yeah, we call them father in respect. We know they are worthy of honor because they are our parents. But then, let me just jump, because it is related, to verse 2 on elder women as mothers, which is pretty much the same. But when you talk of elder women as mothers, you have to consider here not just words, but even in how you obey and submit to them. Many of us would not even dare to talk back to our mothers. I don't know, in the culture here, in our culture we can easily talk back to our father but not to our mothers. I don't know why. Probably they can speak too much than us. Oh, not that, hey. But, I mean, there is still that, you know, sense of respect. But the problem is, you don't talk back, you don't say bad words to your mother, you don't say such nasty words to your mother, but the problem is you don't obey. You still disobey them, you still do against their words, you still do other things apart from what they have instructed, and this will again cause the hearts of the mothers to be disheartened, disappointed, because of your wrong doings. And this is also true in the church. In a church, you must consider all those who are older than you, older women, to be your mothers. You may think that they are not your biological mother, that's why you don't listen to them. Please understand that in the plan of God, the idea that God give through Apostle Paul for a church relationship is that everyone are children of God, and therefore we have to respect one another, and those who are older women must be also considered like us, your mothers. And the word "us" here is significant, because this is a word that in the manner. So you, as elder women, in the manner that you submit to your mother, in the manner that you do to your mothers, in the manner that you respect your mothers, in the manner that you obey your mothers, you do it to older women. The same as you do to your own mother, you have to submit to your or to the older women in the church. That's the relationship. And I pray that we will be reminded of this. This is what the Apostle Paul tells Timothy: you are a man who is so respectful to your mother and even to your grandmother. You are trained by your mother and your grandmother, and now with other women in the church, you must also give that same respect and attitude and behavior before them. Don't just be good to your own mother and to other women in the church. You are irrespectful. There are some children like that. And there are also some which are opposite. They are so good, so well behaved before their Sunday school teachers. But when they go home, they are wild beasts before their own mothers and fathers. But our standard is the scripture. It's not your behavior in the family. And so you have to submit to the older women in the manner as you submit, in the manner as you respect, in the manner as you treat your own mother. Your own mother. Now the second thought here is now, I believe, which is more needful to us here in this fellowship: how should we relate with younger men, or of men and women, sister or younger women in the church? They could be even of the same age as you are, contemporaries with you. How will you relate with them? I believe that is what is important for us in this session. And so I pray that the Lord will speak to us as we look on this. First, younger men as brethren. The word here, brethren, is the word brother. Brother that is the same like in the family. Or a brother who is sometimes also used as one who belongs to the same nation, like the Jews. They are Paul's own brothers. But I believe the context here refers to those who are born-again believers, who are part of the church, who are in the church, those younger men, those who are the same age with you. They may be older than you a few years, but they are almost of your contemporary. You must treat them, again, the word "as" here is a word in the manner as you treat your own brothers. Now again, the standard is not your own family, because in your house, in your home, you may abuse your own younger brothers. You may be a bully to your younger brothers, or you may be a bully to your older brothers. The standard is, again, the scripture. And since the beginning in the book of Genesis, we know that we are told to be our brother's keeper. And what's the word "to keep"? To keep is to guard. And you are not guarding something in order to destroy it. You're not guarding something in order to just leave it useless, in vain. You are guarding this because it's a treasure. You are guarding this because it's important to you. You are guarding this because it is beneficial to you. This thing that you are guarding, or your brothers that you are guarding, keeping, watching, is someone who is of advantage, helpful to you. That's why you are your brother's keeper. You have to be watchful to your own brethren, brothers. And that means you don't bully them. You don't speak bad things to them. You don't injure them. You don't cause them to be deceived. You will do everything in order for this person to grow. Because he is somebody who is a precious, is a gem to you. You're keeping it. You not keep anything that is trash, rubbish, right? Well, you put your rubbish inside your fridge or your cupboard. You don't keep this. These are nothing. It is to be thrown. You keep things because you know these are important. And that's also the same as keeping your own brothers. And keeping your own brothers does not just keeping them and respecting them and just watching them that they may grow. You have to warn them also. Warn them when you see that they are not doing well. Warn them when you see that they are hooked with some pornography in phones or some games that cause them not to sleep all night just to play these mobile games, or they are engaged with some relationship with an unbelieving girl, or they may be with some ungodly companies, or seeing that they are with some friends who drink, so use some kind of or drink alcohol or smoke or vaping. You have to warn them. That's keeping. You don't just watch for them and keep them and secure that they will grow in the Lord. You have to warn also that they may be given into these vices and they will not be taken away by the enemies and influence of the world. You warn them. The problem with our youth is that we see their concerns, we see the problem, but we don't approach them. You tell others instead of the person that's involved. So you watch for them, you keep them, you warn them also, and you also have to even withstand to their face to tell them right there and then if they make something wrong. That's what Paul did to Peter. Brotherly. That's why Peter calls Paul my brother. Why? Because Paul was so concerned with Peter doing something wrong. He withstood him to the face to face. Peter, this is wrong. You're doing this. You're living, you're a Jew, living as a Gentile. Now the Jews came. You left the Gentiles as if you are now forcing the Gentiles to become a Jew. Face. Withstood to the face. And the problem, especially in our own country, they don't withstand people to the face. They go to Facebook and tell things. Oh, this man. You don't even know what's wrong, what happened. But later you will see some friends posted in the Facebook, you are doing this. Can you not tell personally if you really keep or watch or love your own brother? Why withstand to the face? Why withstand using Facebook or other like what you have, like Instagram and all those, I don't know much of this, I don't have this, but this is what is social media. You go to social media to lambast people, to abuse people with your words. You don't even know what they have done against you. They're quick to spread bad things against your own brothers. That is not considering as a brother. I mean, if you are a brother to him, you love him because God tells us that we have to love one another and we have to love those whom God loves. If God loves him, saved him, paid the penalty of his sins, gave himself as a sacrifice to this person, why should you not love him? Younger men, in the manner as you treat your own brother, you have to do that to him. And this is also related with the younger as sisters. The younger here would refer, this is feminine, so it means the younger women. The ladies, the girls as sisters. Now in our siblings, we are all boys, three boys. So I have not much any experience of how to deal with sisters. But the obvious thing is you have to take care of them. They are a weaker vessel and they are to be treated well. You have to help them. You have to care for them. And one thing with, as much as we do to our brothers, is also the same as we entreat our own sisters in the church. Again, our basis is not in the family, what we are doing with our sisters. I know there are some brothers who are, they live as king and their sisters are their servants or his servants. But we have to, again, go back to the scriptures, go back to the Bible. And the same principle as younger men towards other brothers, younger women as sisters in a manner as we treat our own sisters. That's also the attitude and behavior that we have towards them. But one thing that Paul, with the words inspired by the Spirit of God, is that he added this word, with all purity. All. That means in every circumstances, in every time, in every way you deal with the sisters, with the younger sisters or younger ladies in the church, you must treat them with all here, everything, all the time. There's no exception. You know, whatever is the circumstances, whether this girl is so also misbehaved, did something wrong, you must continue to do all in purity. The word purity, what is the word purity? The word purity is only this word, particular word. The word pure is many times mentioned in the scriptures, but the word purity is only mentioned twice. And that is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. That's a memory verse. That is in purity there, and also in verse 2 of chapter 5. There are only two times where this is used, and Paul used this in relation to how, as a young man, must be an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And then this purity must be the way by which, and this is by instrument, this is your way of doing and behaving towards the opposite sex or the same, or the sisters or the same sex, the sisters, women to women, or boys to girls. It must be with all purity. Purity here refers to what is chaste. Chastity means it is without blame. It is beyond reproach. It is holy. It is without mixture. That means if you will deal, especially for opposite sex, for the men, for the boys, if you deal with the girls, with the ladies in the church, when you have something for them, you work with them, you fellowship with them, you don't have to add anything that is lustful, that is flirtatious, that is nasty, that is without mix. You should not mix anything. You should, in purity, deal with them as your own sister. Don't think anything that is lustful. Of course, that will come because we are still in our sinful nature, but you should ask the Lord to help you that when you deal with your own sisters or opposite sex, ladies, girls in the church, it must be without mixture of any bad intention. That's what Paul wants us with the word, with all purity. That's why we, if you have some kind of interest or some feelings towards some of your brethren here, the ladies, you should not do it in a way to show your emotion, affection towards them in a manner that is of the world. We understand that you have to respect them and to care for them. In fact, you have to, you really have that feeling. You should first tell the parents before you approach the girl. That should be the proper way. Right? Are you smiling? Did he not ask your father first? Oh no. Okay, sorry. He just reacted, well, why ask, okay? Well, I mean, that is impurity, openness. I mean, why you should hide? And hiding and secret, you know, like dating, going together, the two of you, this will invite impure thoughts, impure acts, and that will put shame to your testimony if you will do something against the will of God, the word of God. Now, I may have gone too far from what you have expected me to say, but this is with all purity. This is to treat one another without any impure thoughts, without bad intentions, without lustful desires. It is our dealing with them purely spiritual and without desire that this man, this woman, when this fellowship or when this work or when this ministry or with this conversation, they will not be discouraged, they will not be hindered in their growth, in their service, in their walk towards glorifying God. That should be our intention. As children of God, we want everyone to walk together to glorify the Lord. And that's why in everything that we deal with one another, our intention is for this person that he or she can glorify God. That's the chief end of man. How can this person glorify God? But if you have impure thoughts, if you have lustful desires, if you have things, flirtatious acts that will cause this person to misbehave, that will not bring glory to the Lord. That is the world. That's how the world acts, that's how the world behaves. That is not to be found in the church. Paul says we must have in all purity. And I believe he had this, and the Spirit of God gave him this word because this is really the girls, the sisters are vulnerable. Not only as a weak vessel, but they can be easily, you know, especially men who have the gift of tongue, not gift of tongue that is, but those who can just do some or say words, flirtatious words that will cause others to think, oh, He likes me. He loves me. And though there is just the desire for lust, not love. So we have to be careful. We have to consider that in the church, not only that we are one body and Jesus is the head of this body, but we are one family. Although we know in the world today, in the family, there are reports, there are cases where even fathers did something wrong to their daughters or brothers, to their own sisters or whatever. These are all the world that things, the world that they do because they are blinded, they are wicked, they are far from the truth. They don't know what is the truth in God's word, and they just behave according to their instinct, like animals, like beasts. But as Christians, we have now the light. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and therefore we must exercise that life of holiness in our daily lives, in our conversation, in how we deal with one another. We must manifest the presence of the Spirit of God. And ask the Lord, help us, Lord, of how to deal with my sister, with my brothers, and see the Spirit of God always working in our hearts, in our minds, as we talk to them, as we work with them, as we fellowship with them. Let the Spirit of God be our director, be our guide, our counselor in everything that we do, say, and even think. And that's how we must cultivate this relationship as a family. And this is what God desires for all of us. This is His design for the church. This is how He wants everyone to deal with one another. For us, older people, we treat you not just our younger brothers and younger sisters, but I treat you as my own children. In fact, your age, you are of the age of my children. So when I speak to you, I speak not just as of the same age, but with a certain authority, with a certain fatherly concern over you. You may say I sometimes see words that would insult others, but that is a fatherly concern towards young people who may be victims of the world, of the ideas of the world, because you are always exposed to social media, to the internet, to YouTube, to everything, and your parents don't have any, you don't have 24-hour monitoring what things you are doing. And you will be taken in and you will think that, oh, this is what the world says, this is the world does, so we might as well do this. This is something that will thrill our minds, our hearts. We have to try it. Please, we have rather go back to the scriptures than to go to this advice and counsel of the world. So this is what Paul wants us, to have a family. And a family that respects one another, that has the intention of spiritually maturing one to another, growing in the Lord, glorifying God in our lives. And particularly here, Paul added these words, with all purity towards sisters and towards older men. You will have to entreat, to appeal with them with respect, just like your father. And we understand this because it's what God wants in the church. Once there is a respect of a father, we walk like the Lord Jesus Christ. We live like the Lord Jesus Christ. We know Jesus is one with the Father, and yet we see in how He prayed His high priestly prayer, a very respectful prayer towards the Father. He's equal with the Father, he's God himself, but he had this submission towards him in their functional entity by which the Father sent him to be the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ himself had this respect towards his Father. And if this is our attitude towards older men, then that is a Christ-like attitude. How the Lord Jesus Christ showed his respect towards Mary. Yes, there was time that he called Mary woman, but that was to show that this is not the way that you should demand this kind of miracle. That you are a woman, this I'm God, the creator. But it was not irrespectful towards Mary the mother. In fact, we know that even in his time of death, Jesus was so concerned where should his mother live and who will take care of him, because his own brothers were unbelievers. So we have to understand this. This is Christ-like living. Respect, entreat father, and respect the mother, love the older women as mothers. And then to one another, there is holy dealing with the Spirit of God, dictating, guiding, leading us in the way we treat others. The younger sisters, the younger brothers, those who are contemporaries to us. How we treat them is obeying what the Lord Jesus Christ tells us. We have to love one another as God loves us. So we entreat with all purity. And this is particularly for the younger sisters, but I believe we have to think of this also for all, without impure thoughts, impure motives. We have to deal one another in love, that we may be united to glorify and honor Christ. That's the chief end of man. And that's the chief end also of how we deal with one another. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this evening. And Lord, there are other things that we have to know and to understand on how we deal with one another, especially for our young people. Oh Lord, help us and be with us and grant us wisdom in asking and answering things that would help the young people. We want them to grow just as good witnesses of Thine. And we want also to be living as people who whom they look up, that we may live to the glory of Thy name. So Father, be with us. And we pray for Thy wisdom, and we pray for Thy Spirit to guide us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.